you've already taken a look at the bulletin this morning, maybe you made the connection between the second song we sang and the verse that's in the middle of the bulletin about do not be anxious for anything. Is it well with my soul? It is well with my soul is how that song goes. And it's well with our soul when we cast our burdens and cares upon the Lord. We allow Him to take control, and we allow Him, as that last song we sang, to guide us through this life. I hope you make connections like that from time to time, not just the verses that may be at the top of the psalm, but maybe something you've been reading through the week, or maybe later on in the week you'll read something, it'll connect you back with that song and help bring those lessons closer to us, help us to grow and increase and gain from the things we sing, as well as the things that we study in our Bible classes and might be talked about from the pulpit. I started to change one letter in this word, but I thought using the word awake instead of the word aware might catch more attention. And it did catch a little bit. Stay awake. Somebody told me you're meddling now. But I'm not talking about falling asleep during the sermon, or falling asleep while you're supposed to be talking to somebody and paying attention to them. I'm talking about staying awake, alive, and aware of what's going on. That's the lesson that the Apostle Paul is presenting to the brethren there in the Roman letter that was read for us by Brother Jimmy. And that's the idea we want to consider this morning. We need to keep ourselves awake. It's very easy for us to fall into a pattern of lethargy, a pattern of, well, I'll get to it later, or a pattern of, I'm tired and I'm not sure whether I can do this, or even just a pattern of, I'm not paying really, really close attention. We recognize those dangers as we're going about life, as we're driving down the road. We recognize we have to stay aware, and if we're starting to get sleepy, we want somebody to start talking to us and get us to act a little more and to be more active so that we can keep our wits about us. When we're, staying up with someone who needs our care and our attention, we keep ourselves active so that we can do that because we recognize the need to stay awake. Paul here in this passage, and we'll look a little more detailed into some of these things later on as we consider the points we're going to make this morning, but I want to make note, the Apostle Paul said it's time for us to wake up from sleep using that image of the first thing in the morning. And I'll tell you, that's the hardest time for me, is getting up in the morning, waking up. Getting up and out. There's some folks that they don't have any problem with that. They wake up before the alarm comes on and they're up and out of bed and busy, got half the day's work done, and I'm still laying there trying to get my eyes to stay open well enough that I can actually see the room around me. And maybe your house is that way as well. Differences. But Paul says it's time for us to wake up, and we need to stay awake. Time is near. Night is gone. We're in the day, and we need to prepare for the time when night is coming again. And because of our human nature to easily slip in our awareness and our concern and care, to just let things fall into autopilot, so to speak, and we pray every now and then, and we read a little bit, and we think, okay, we've got it done. I made it to worship services 3 times this week, and I've got it done. Because of our tendency to just get by sometimes, God repeatedly warns us that we need to be wary of that kind of spiritual complacency, that we need to stay awake. One of the reasons, and one of the things that will help us to remain awake, is the fact that we are well aware of the dangers that are set before us. We know that Satan himself is sitting out there waiting to catch us. Just as we used the illustration a moment ago, if we're driving down the road and we start getting sleep, we know that we have to do something because we know there's danger if we're not constantly on guard for the things that are going on. I mean, there's semi-trucks out there, there's retreads in the middle of the road that's come off the tires, there may be trees, there may be limbs, there may be a deer run across the road, maybe in somebody driving that doesn't know how to drive, so just explain it that way. We've got to constantly be aware because we know there are dangers out there. And maybe we take advantage of the kind of weather that seems to be coming. We know there's a danger of storms and of heavy rains and such, so we're going to be even more alert and aware of what's going on, paying attention. People were out looking outside at the sky to see whether it had started storming or raining yet. Somebody come in, is it raining where you came from? Because we're aware. We want to be ready. We want to be prepared. The danger is there and it's real. It's in front of us. Paul told the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We know where our enemy is. And we know that he's out there. And he's waiting for us. And because we know this, we need to be prepared for those forces that are coming at us. And we need to be aware of the tactics and the schemes, to use the term we find in Scripture, that they are using. In the previous verse, in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, I was going back over this lesson again this morning. That word scheme stood out. I don't know why it didn't when I was doing stuff yesterday, but that this morning it really stood out. That term schemes. We don't think of schemes as being calm and easy and reasonable plans. Schemes is a term we use for evil megalomaniacs. Schemes are the terms we use for Wile E. Coyote against the Roadrunner. Schemes mean bad things. If somebody is scheming, they're not up to good. They're up to bad. And so using this term schemes emphasizes to us, or at least it does to me, that this is not a good thing that we know is coming. And we need to be ready for it. We need to be prepared. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, again the Apostle Paul there, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Satan is out there scheming against us. He's making plans. He's drawing out, he's figuring out exactly what he can do and where he needs to wait in order to catch us off guard. And we know that. We even, as Paul tells us here, we're not ignorant of his schemes. We know the kind of things he's going to try to do. Every one of us knows our own weaknesses. We may not want to acknowledge them, but we know where we have failings. We know where the weak spots are in our defenses. And we know that's where Satan's going to come. That's where he's going to attack. And we need to constantly be on guard against it because we are aware of the danger. We know it's out there. We know what it is. And we know, at least to some degree in a general sense, how it's going to come at us. We need to be watching. A fellow builds a fence around his property to keep people out and finds out that there's a spot on that fence where somebody could come up and cut that fence and get in without anybody knowing about it because there's a blind spot there. What's he going to do? He's going to watch that spot. I saw an image. I've seen it a couple of times. An image of wolves in a pack. Maybe you've seen it too. Got some of the wolves circled. And it was emphasizing some things about leadership. But it falls in line with what we're talking about here. The wolves know there's danger out there. They know that if they travel too fast, the old and sick might fall behind and get left. So they put them in the very front. And because they are old and sick and can't defend themselves well, they got a bunch of really, really good fighters right behind them. And then they got a bunch back there at the back because they know that the enemy is very likely going to sneak up from behind because you can't see behind you, right? And of course, it emphasizes the leaders back there at the back where he can watch everything that's going on. But they strengthen the weak spots by putting the strongest, most capable, and best prepared to handle those problems in those places. We know he's there. We know he's waiting for us. Peter tells in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. It's been a long time since we used to watch it on TV, and I don't remember what the exact name of it was, but there was the guy that went out into the animal kingdom and showed us how all the animals were living out there way back in the 60s or 70s. Some of you remember it. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Probably know the name, can probably tell who the guy was that went out there. But one of the things it showed us, in at least some instances, was the kind of action that a predator takes in that situation. This goes back to what we were talking about with the wolves. He's watching for the weak. He's watching for the one that's not paying close attention. He's seeking them out. That's exactly what Satan is. He's a predator. And he knows that if we're at our best, if we've got on the full armor of God, and we're wearing the Word of God and wielding the sword of the Spirit, he doesn't have a chance. But if we let our sword tip drop and take our helmet off, and we get weary, so we remove the breastplate of righteousness, or we sit down and decide we're going to just rest for a while and not be so alert and aware, that's when he's going to come. We need to stay awake. We need to be vigilant, because Satan is vigilant. He's out there. He's watching, and he knows our weaknesses. He's going to come for us when we least expect him. He sees us getting lazy about our faith, when he sees us developing the attitude of, I've been a Christian for 40 years now. Somewhere in there. Somewhere I was 13. I've been a Christian for 40 years. I've been reading and studying the Bible. I know what the Word of God says. Most instances, somebody asks me, I can at least remember a bit or a piece of a verse that can help me to answer that question. So, maybe I don't have to spend an hour reading my Bible this morning. I'll probably be all right. Well, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time. I've not been doing any of those evil things, and I don't get caught up in all the things that are going on around me, so I can go visit this place where they have things that are less than proper and not have any problem with it. That's when Satan's waiting for us. That's exactly what he's looking for. We have to constantly be on guard. And knowing that the danger is out there should help us to be on guard. Should help us to stay awake. There are the things that we can use to help us to stay awake. And one of the things that God has given us so that we can is the examples that are set before us. We need to learn to follow the examples of others who have gone before us, who have illustrated how to be a child of God, how to remain faithful, how to remain alert. We need to learn from them. When an employer finds that one of his employees is really gung-ho and good at what he's doing, and he's diligent, and he shines forth, they want to give him some sort of honor in some way. Not necessarily to praise him all the time, but so everybody else can see what he's doing, and maybe they can learn. You know, the guy that can handle the cash register very well is put in a prominent place. Not just because he's so good at it, but maybe it encourages somebody else to strive a little harder, to do a little better, to follow the example. We see the same thing with kids in school. We honor those who make really, really good grades, and we praise them, and we promote them. We let other people know about them because we want them to learn from their example. The Apostle Paul. Ever wondered why we have so much about the Apostle Paul in the Scriptures? We got some things about Peter. We got the writings of Peter. We got the writings of James, of Jude. We've got the writings of John and Luke and Matthew and Mark. But the major portion of the New Testament Scripture is about the Apostle Paul. Maybe a part of that is because of the example that the Apostle Paul is for us in being diligent and staying awake and aware of what's going on. Because of what he can teach us by his life and his, not just the words that were written in his letters, not just the things that he spoke in his lessons, but how he conducted himself. Starting in about, what, Acts chapter 11 or 12? The rest of the book's about Paul. There were 12 apostles standing there on the day of Pentecost. Paul, not any one of them. And I don't want to take away from the example that we have from those apostles. We do have examples from Peter and others. The example of the apostle Paul stands out for us. The apostle Paul is a good example about being busy even before he became a Christian. He was busy about what he believed. And when he obeyed the gospel, when he learned the truth and made the change, he carried that same busyness, that same determination, that same drive into his service to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. For I think God has exhibited us apostles last of all as men and condemned to death, because we've become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. To present to this present hour, we're both hungry and thirsty, are poorly clothed and roughly treated, are homeless. We toil and work with our own hands. When we're reviled, we bless. When we're persecuted, we endure. When we're slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. If you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. There's at least three words in this text that we wrote, that we just read, that emphasize the idea that we are to look to the example. Exhibited, spectacle, and imitators. A reminder to us that we ought to follow the example. And Paul specifically states, I don't tell you these things to make you feel bad. I tell you these things so you can recognize the example that is set before you, and you can learn to use that example in your own life. As he told him later in chapter 11, verse 1, be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ. And he told the Philippian brethren the same thing. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. And Thessalonian brethren as well, in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, you also become imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Imitate Paul as he imitated Christ. Imitate others who imitate Christ. Learn from the examples of those that go before us. Follow the examples that are there. And those examples are not examples of somebody sitting back and waiting for something to happen. They're not examples of somebody saying, okay, I'm a Christian now. At what point in Paul's life did he ever say, okay, I have traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles spreading the gospel. I proclaimed it to all the world. Now I'm in prison for it. Let me just kick back and take a minute. No. Even while he was in prison in Rome, he was busy preaching and teaching the gospel. And I don't mean just the first imprisonment that we read about in the book of Acts where he had his own hired house. It's evident from the letters that he wrote to Timothy and Titus that even when he was in the depths of the prison, he was doing everything he could to encourage the spreading of the gospel of Christ. What an example. An example of someone who stays awake, aware. Who's always watching, always ready, always concerned and working for the Lord. The Hebrew writer as well encourages us to look to the examples that have gone before us. We won't look at Hebrews chapter 11, but in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. The writer says, but beloved, we're convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we're speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Notice the Hebrew writer says, you've been busy, you've been working, you've been serving the Lord. Now, imitate the others that have been busy, working, serving the Lord. Look at the examples that have gone before us. Use them as encouragement and strengthening. Oftentimes, at least I do, and I know some others are doing too, you buy some new device, some new sort of something that you've never used before, and you look at the pages, and there's pages and pages of 10 different languages. I can't remember what it was we got the other, a pair of headphones, I think it was, we got the other day, and a little sheet of paper folded up into a little square about like this. We finally got it opened up, and there's like three words of English, and then 25 other lines of language out there. It was almost impossible to find the English, much less follow those instructions written out. You know what we do oftentimes when we run into those situations where we read, we still can't understand? We go look for pictures. Or we go look for videos, a how-to video. Why? Because sometimes it's easier for us to learn by seeing something done than it is by reading about something. We need to take advantage of the examples that are before us. That puts a very heavy burden upon, especially those of us who are older, more experienced, and more mature. Somebody's watching you. They're going to learn from your example. What kind of example are you putting forth? Somebody said the worst danger facing the younger generation is the example of the older generation. We need to be careful of our example because there are others looking to us, and we need to follow the examples that have been set before us. In order for us to be a proper and right example, we have to stay awake. That's why in so many places throughout the New Testament, we're given the warning, such as we read for us there in Romans chapter 13. It's time to wake up and be aware. It's time to serve as those who are of the day and not of the darkness. We, as the Apostle Paul tells us there in Romans chapter 13, we are children of day, children of light. We need to conduct ourselves in that manner. We're not children of the darkness. It's time for us to wake up, be diligent, and stay busy doing the things that the Lord would have us to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. In fact, you may want to turn your Bibles over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We've got some more. We'll look at that more in that chapter in just a moment. But now as to the times and epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything being to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they were saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief, for you're all sons of light and sons of day. We're not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing. I've always liked that verse. Paul told the Thessalonian brethren, I know you're doing what you're supposed to do, now do more of it. Keep at it. But here he tells us, and alludes to some of the same things we looked at in the book of Romans chapter 13, we belong to the day, not the night. Daytime's when people are awake, active, busy, doing. Nighttime is when we sleep. I know there's exceptions to that. But in a general sense, when we see daylight, we think awake and aware and work and do the things that need to be done. When it starts getting dark, we start thinking about, I can't do so much anymore because it's dark. I need to go to sleep and rest so I can get up and do the next. We're the day. We're in the day. We're in the day of the Lord. Not the day of the Lord. But we're living in the light of the Lord and the light of God. And we need to conduct ourselves as those who are living in the light, busy, diligent, and serving the Lord. Because if we want to stay awake, we got to be involved. We've done a lot of traveling around through the ages, and hadn't been quite that long, over the years. And the best way for me to wake up and be awake when I start getting a little bit tired from driving is to start talking back and forth, enter into a conversation. Back and forth, and it doesn't really matter what the topic is. We can talk about just about anything. But being active in that conversation keeps me awake and aware. Sometimes I have to go so far as to stop, get out, and walk around a little bit. But what keeps me awake is being busy, not the monotonous humdrum of just going on with what's happening, just letting it pass on by. But being active and aware in what's happening. Being busy. Engaging myself in those things. The Apostle Paul, as he continues in the 1 Thessalonians letter chapter 5. In verse 12, continuing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seeking after that which is good for another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, we turn to those oftentimes in other lessons to talk about the good and the bad, and we ought to pray and we ought to talk to God, but look at it in the context of needing to stay awake. How do we stay awake? We get busy doing the work that God's had us to do. In the first half of this chapter, in those first 11 verses, the Apostle Paul said, you're children of the day, you need to be doing the works of the day. And then he says, here's the works you need to do. Can't help but see that he's also offering them an example to look to in those that are diligently serving the Lord and leading them and directing them and helping them. He says, if you want to be doing the works of the Lord, if you want to be doing the works of the day, if you want to stay awake and stay aware, you got to be busy helping the helpless, teaching the untaught, strengthening the weak, encouraging the downtrodden, reaching out to God. Pray without ceasing. We think of that as one of those commands that tells us we're supposed to be in contact with God. But understand it in light of this context here. It's a part of keeping us aware of what's going on. Keeping in contact with God, talking back and forth with Him through our prayer and reading from His Word keeps us awake. Keeps us active and busy. We need to be involved. We want to stay awake. Just as soon as we decide, well, I've been doing that for a long time, so I can slack off a little bit now. We've made an opportunity for us to take a nap. And I can guarantee you, the nap will come along, whether you want it or not, eventually. If you stop doing it, you're going to fall asleep. And you know what's going to happen? Satan who've been creeping along, prowling along behind you, just waiting for his chance. He's going to jump. And you're going to be asleep. You're not going to know he's coming, and he's going to catch you. We need to stay awake. If we want to reap the blessings that Paul talks about there, the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus. We've got to stay away. We've got to do everything within our power to avoid getting sluggish in our activities and our actions. We've got to work diligently for the Lord. We need to be diligent in doing the things that God would have us to do. We need to consider that there is danger out there and keep it ever in front of us so that it encourages us to watch out for it. We've got to look at the examples of those before us who have remained awake. We learn from them and then become an example ourselves by being diligent and active in serving the Lord. When we stop doing it, start down the path of falling asleep. One other story or parable, whichever version of the news that Jesus gave to his disciples, was in regards to the man who left his servants in charge of his house, and he left and went elsewhere. And the point that Jesus made is, as long as those servants were diligently serving the Lord, doing what their master told them to do, taking care of business as they ought, when he returned, they would be rewarded. They would be blessed. But if they did not remain diligent, if they began to slack off, if they began to enter into evil practices and do those things that their master would be pleased of, he came and found them in that state, and would suffer eternal consequences. Lesson is the same for us today. Just because we gave our lives to the Lord and became Christians at one point in our life doesn't mean we're still diligently serving the Lord as we ought to. And if we fall asleep on job, we're going to suffer the consequences when the Master comes and finds us. We need to stay away. Being busy, doing work that needs to be done. Setting an example for others, following an example for those that have gone before. Always watching out for the danger of Satan. Just waiting for a chance to catch us off guard. What goes on in your heart this morning? Are you one who has given your heart, your life, your whole being to the Lord by obedience to his gospel? And I encourage you to do so. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're willing to turn away from all things that are not in accordance with his will, and commit yourself to all things that God requires of you, then you can be saved. You will confess your belief in Jesus as the Son of God, your belief in him as the Savior of mankind, turn from the things that you've been doing and give your life wholly over to the Lord. You can be buried in baptism and rise out of the water and be raised. You've got to put to death the old man. And more than you. You can have hope of eternity with God. If you've taken those steps in the past and you look this morning and you find that you've slacked off, you've not been diligent. Maybe you've been engaging in things that are directly against your own will. I encourage you to pray to God and ask Him to forgive. Return from those wrongs and confess them to the Lord. And God has promised that He is life and more as if there's never been. And you, as a child of God, have the privilege of prayer. I wish you may be forgiven sins if you will repent and turn from them. Your condition is such that you need the prayer of your congregation. We encourage you to come and let your desire be known while we stand in sin for your prayer.